In Genesis chapter number 18, I'm going to look at this passage real quick tonight. Genesis chapter 18, and I'm going to look a few weeks on hospitality. I've asked Brother Slee on Thursdays, the Lord was praying about things, and the Lord led me in this direction, and I'm excited about it. On Thursday nights, Brother Slee is going to be preaching, and he's going to be preaching on Thursday nights for a few weeks, months, however I told him, until the Lord tells him he's done. But he's going to be teaching on how we can see hospitality in the life of Jesus. And so he's going to be bringing those aspects out. And I'm going to be preaching as long as the Lord wants us to. And understand this, we're just directed by the Lord. If the Lord says preach something else, you know, Sunday morning, we'll do what we do. We try to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. But I believe the Lord lays it in our heart for a reason. And I'll be preaching as long as the Lord allows on different pictures of hospitality that we find in the Word of God. So why are you doing this? Well, that's our theme this year, but my desire is that by the time that this year is over, that everyone will kind of say something like this: I can't believe the Bible teaches and talks so much about hospitality. You'd be amazed how much the Bible does talk about hospitality. We said last week, it's important to remember, that the Lord gave these two priorities, these two laws, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second, to love our neighbor as ourself. And he said, those two are the great commandments. And that second one of those is hospitality. And unfortunately, we don't know much about hospitality as much as we should. And that's a shame, because that's what Christ said. That's the second thing that we really ought to make very important in our lives. So that's why we're looking at these things. And so I hope that by the time this year is over, that I and you and all of us will be more of a loving church, more hospitable, more in loving our strangers and loving our brethren. And so we're going to look at some different pictures of hospitality. I'm going to do one very quickly tonight in Genesis chapter number 18. And let's stand, if you're able to, as we read the scripture, starting in verse number 1. Genesis 18, verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Father, I pray, take the message, use it for your glory and for your honor. Thank you for the service already. And Lord, it's been good to sing your praises, to worship you in our giving. Lord, it's been good to have special song, Lord, to honor you and your word. And I pray now that, Lord, you just please take this message and use it in ways that only you can. May the Spirit of God have free reign in this place. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. A couple things about hospitality. We're going to look here. Of course, the story is, here's Abraham. Abraham is sitting there. Sarah is in the tent, and 3 men approach, and they approach Abraham. They have a message for him. When Abraham sees them, he invites them in. He goes and he has Sarah make some cornbread or something like that, and because we just love cornbread, amen. And it's on my mind right now. My mom went up to go check on her dad yesterday, and spent some time up with her. Well, my mom's mom, my grandma's sister. I have no idea what her name is. I'm guessing Virginia, but we've always called her, long as I've known her, it's Aunt Jin Jin. All right, Aunt Jin Jin. Lives there in Xenia. And what Aunt Jin Jin did is she went and she took the corn that she grew, and she took the corn, and she took and she went and had it ground, and then she made her own cornmeal and made cornbread. And my mom brought me some. Oh, man. I went over to check on my dad last night. And my mom, my grandma sent some home and said, "Now take this," and you know, and she said, "Give it to," she calls him Travis John, "give it to Travis John and for his family." And while I'm speaking, my wife says, "I know nothing about this, do you?" All right, yeah. Because I had to run to Kroger's to get my dad some medicine, and I had that in there. It never made it home. All right, boy, was it good. All right, but something different about that. So I'm I think somebody needs to grow corn next year and do this. All right, but it was. I'll talk to some of you. All right, but we needed to get on this because that was good stuff. All right, but anyways, Sarah, I got to get back spiritual. Sarah went and she had this. She made these cakes and. And then they went, and of course they got a young calf, and they brought that, and they brought these men in. Now that's as far as we read. Because what you see here is Abraham showing hospitality. Now what did Abraham do that we can learn from in this passage of Scripture? Number one, just jot these things down, and I hope you'll get something from this to apply to us growing in hospitality. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number one that he was looking for the stranger. He was looking for the stranger. It says there in verse number one, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day." Abraham's sitting there in the tent door, and he's no doubt enjoying, it's the heat of the day, he's enjoying the shade, he's probably enjoying the fresh air, but also as custom of the day, during the heat of the day, someone like Abraham would sit and he would watch. Because there were many travelers. And if someone was traveling by in the heat of the day and needed shelter, understand, living in the wilderness, there were many that would be traveling. They were looking for shelter. And Abraham, when he saw them, he realized that he had a responsibility. Now, there's a couple things I want you to see. He was looking for them. Now, something that I think is important is this. Those men that came to him, they didn't knock on the tent door. They didn't say, "Abraham, can we come in?" They didn't go to him and ask, you know, if he could do something for them. Abraham was looking, and when he saw them, he made the first move. When he saw them, and by the way, this is still the custom over in the Middle East and people that are traveling like that, that people still, they watch and no one will ever knock on the door. Instead, they'll stand there until they are invited to come in. Now, obviously, that can make for an awkward time if you're not wanting to come in, all right? If they're standing there for an hour, you're like, I guess I should, all right? But they do. They will not ask. They just stand there. But Abraham was watching. And again, I've already talked about this last week. I'll not spend long on it tonight. But we need to be asking God every day, show me where I can express hospitality. And throughout the day, keeping our eyes open and watching and looking for who we can. And when God brings, remember, everyone that God brings, any guest that He brings into our life, look at them as a guest from God. And there He was looking. And again, I'm not going to stay here long, but I'll make this one last statement, go on to point number two. If you're not looking, it won't happen. If you're not looking, you say, "Well, can't you preach on something else?" Upon these are the two great commandments. I could. But if we're failing in one of the two great commandments, then we probably ought to step back and punt. You know what I mean? Go back and get this settled. So we need to be looking. Number two is this. In verse number two, he made the first move. It says, "And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door." He made the first move. They weren't the ones asking. He ran to them. Church, we must run to these opportunities. This morning we had a few visitors in our church this morning. We should run at that opportunity. Now, I am thankful. Our church, you know, we strive to be Ohio's church. And many people comment how friendly that we are. You know, we had some visitors last Sunday night, and the young man walked up to me afterwards, and he said, "I was told that you strive to be a friendly church." He said, "I just want you to know that your church really succeeded in that." And praise the Lord. He said, "Everybody, I think everybody came and shook my hand." Praise the Lord for it. We ought to run for this. You see, this isn't happening in most churches. There was a pastor one time. He got up and he said, "All right, I see we're struggling and being friendly. So what we're going to do, starting next week, we are going to do our best to take time in the service like we do, to get around and shake hands and to show ourselves friendly. By the way, when we shake hands, you ought to try to move a little bit and shake somebody's hand. All right? Now, someone that's a visitor, you can understand that. But if God gives you legs that work, use them. And get around, all right? Tell somebody you're glad to see them. Welcome them. Smile. Smiles go a long way, all right? Well, this guy, he got kind of excited about that when he heard the pastor say it. As soon as the pastor amened the service, he turned around to this lady sitting behind him and stuck his hand down and said, "It's good to see you today." And she looked at him and she said, "I beg your pardon. The friendliness starts next week. Back off." All right? And that's the way she was, all right? Well, we're not talking about putting on a show and doing that kind of stuff, all right? True thing. A man went around. He was doing a study on this, and he went around. He went to 18 churches. I wrote this down because I didn't want to mistake what he did. He went to 18 churches. He said when he walked into the churches, 18 different churches in 18 weeks. When he walked in, he came and he made sure before he left that he walked to the front, he walked to the foyer, and then he walked down both sides of the auditorium. And then he played a little game. I'm not recommending you do this, but this is what he did. All right? He gave points away every church he went to. Every time he walked into church, for every smile he got, he gave 10 points. For every time someone came and greeted him, he gave 10 points. He gave 100 points every time someone walked up and gave them their name. He gave 200 points if someone walked up in a church and invited him to return. He gave 1,000 points when someone took him to introduce him to someone else. And he gave 2,000 points when someone in the church took him to introduce him to the pastor. These were a lot of points. Now, this man just did this a couple years ago. 11 out of 18 churches scored less than 100 points. 5 churches scored less than 20. That's why we keep pounding in our head. We want to be Ohio's friendliest church. Because we can't forget this. Because it's easy to come to church, get into our routines, and forget what we're here for.
Right.
And it's easy to forget to show hospitality. Abraham made the first move. He was looking, and then he made the first move. Third thing is this. He showed great lowliness of self. He humbled himself in verse number 2, the end, and he bowed himself toward the ground. The greatest opposition to hospitality is pride. We're going to have to humble ourselves. Listen, we're going to have to be willing to open our life up. We're going to have to be willing to humble ourselves, to let people in. By the way, eyeball to eyeball real quick. This is not just talking about giving hospitality, but in receiving hospitality. We're going to have to humble ourselves. Pride will destroy any act of hospitality. You know what's going to happen the more we show hospitality? We'll show our imperfections. We're not perfect, are we? There's not one of us here that is. We all have things that, you know, we're working on. And the more that we show hospitality, the more we're going to get personal with others. And the more that happens, the more they're going to see our imperfections. So why would we want to do that? It's one of the purposes of church. So we can grow. So we can correct these things. Did you know we can get used to our imperfections? And if we don't ever let no one in our life and we put a little bubble around us, we can go and we can spend 20 years and die and never grow in these imperfections. God doesn't want it that way. God said, let people into your lives. You're going to sit and speak to them. You're going to sit and talk to them. And you know what? Eventually, we'll take our mask off. You come into Sunday school or come into church, you start walking up to people that you normally didn't know or didn't talk to, you'll have to take your mask off and be real. That's what God wants. It will take humility. The number four, oh, by the way, it'll help you learn to trust others too. And that's a big thing. Number four is this. You see his loving kindness that was shown. Verses 3, 4, and 5. He said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away." Abraham said, "I pray thee from thy servant, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree." You know what the first thing, that the way he showed loving kindness, you know what happened? The first thing that happened was he refreshed their body. He refreshed their bodies in verses 3 and 4. He went to them, and the Bible says he got a little water, he washed their feet, and they rested themselves under the tree. Romans 12, 13 tells us we are to be given the hospitality, and before that it says distributing to the necessity of the saints. Hey church, guess what? We all have needs. Did you know I have needs and so do you? You know what? You know what? One of the things that we need to be looking for is ways that we can draw closer to each other to refresh each other's needs. You're never going to know. Listen, I'll just randomly pick someone. Wade. All right? Wade may be having a terrible time and has some great burdens on his heart. You know where he ought to be able to come and find people that will love him and actually pray with him and for him? It's right here. He ought to be able to come and get refreshed here at church. Because you know what? As we travel through the world, you know what happens? We get a lot of dirt on our feet, don't we? By the time we come to church on Sunday next week, you can't help it. The world kind of sticks to you. You know, we talked about this morning and spoke to someone after church about it. You know, the world is trying to influence us greatly. The world's trying, you know, we talked about the sodomy and the things like that. You know what the world's doing? It's trying to influence the way we Christians think. And it is trying to get us to think, well, maybe it isn't that bad, or maybe this or that, or the, you know, and patting it on the back, or ignoring it and turning our face towards it and not addressing it, and you know, we don't want to be hateful, and et cetera, et cetera. And the world's influencing us.
Right.
You know, the filth of the world, it's there. You know, there's great burdens.
Yes, sir.
There's people sitting here tonight, they're going through a hard time. People they love are going through a hard time. They're hurting. If they can't find refreshment in God's house with God's people, then probably they'll eventually try to find it somewhere else.
Right.
That should never happen. Say, well, how can we avoid it? Be hospitable to one another. Speak to one another. Love each other. Do simple things for each other. Talk to each other. It refreshed their bodies. But then look at the next verse. It revived their hearts. The next verse. Brother Robert, can you read it? You're there. I see you. So in the verse before that, they rested their bodies. But in the next verse there that Brother Roberts just read, it comforted their hearts. Church ought to be a place, and not just at church. We ought to want to spend time with God's people for a couple of reasons. To refresh them physically.
Yes.
It's nice to be able to go. The other day, the Roberts invited us over to dinner last Tuesday. It was nice. To go over and to sit. He's got a manly chair. It's huge, right? And I went and I sat in that chair. And I laid back. It was nice. It was comfy. And, you know, it was kind of refreshing. We've had a busy time lately. And it doesn't sound like much, but it was huge. That my wife didn't have to. We had nursing home and my parents have not been feeling well. And we've been running here and there. And it was nice for her not to have to cook a big meal that night. And it was just refreshing. It's important. But not only that, but our hearts got to be shared some.
Yes.
And we just talk. We share things in our life. If we sit there and say, oh, I don't want nothing to do with anybody, and I'm just leaving alone, I'm at church, and I'll just do my own thing, you're missing out on some of the greatest benefits of being a believer. If you'll show hospitality, you'll be refreshed and your heart will be revived. There, by the way, who's Abraham talking to? Who are these people? These are angels. By the way, the Lord speaks to him here. And the Bible says there, and Abraham says, and comfort ye your hearts. Now, obviously, I don't think he fully understood exactly maybe who he's speaking to, but Abraham is showing why he did what he did, and so should we. To comfort each other's hearts. Loving kindness, and then you see number 5, he leaned on others. You know, Abraham didn't do it by himself, did he? Look at verse number 6. The first thing we see here, now this is important, ready? I'm going to try not to take long, all right? But in this verse number 6, he got his family involved. You see what it says? And Abraham hastened to the tent and to Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. He got his wife involved. It's good for families to do this together. It's a great opportunity of service to get your family involved. Hey, mom and dad, get your children involved in this. We just took a whole year, and our children, they kind of got to be spotlighted, and they had a good year, all right? God blessed them this year, and they, little things here and there, cards and little gifts and things, and they received. And praise the Lord. Well, this year, why don't we let our children be a blessing to others? Why don't we have them get involved? Have them, you know, my wife and I told our children, pray every month what you can do to be a blessing to each one of the groups of people that we study and that we talk about. You know, let's get our children involved. Let's do some stuff as a family and get involved in this. He got family involved, but then this is important too in verse number 7. He made sure you see that young people got involved. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. So he just said, they're children. I did, but I want to spend a little more time on children here because the Bible did. Young people, I want to speak to you real quick. Would you get involved in serving in your church? Amen. So what can I do? Children, teenagers, my Sunday school class. Paul talks about younger people and single people. You know, before you get married and while you're young, there are a lot of responsibilities that are not on you yet. You know what Paul said to do with that freedom that you have right now? He said, stay home and squeeze in as much Nintendo as you can. No, that's not what he said. He did not say to sit there and to talk to each other online. That's not what he said. What he did say is this, to use your freedom to serve. Can I just throw something out there just to think about that hopefully it will burden you in the next hour? But when we have fellowships and things like that, why don't you walk up to the table where the same person's always doing the same work, where Miss Campbell was serving the drinks and Mrs. Hall is cutting the cake? And why don't some in my Sunday school class walk up and say, why don't you let me do this? I know, a great awkwardness sets in. But this is what we need. Instead of 16 boys going over next door to try to play a game with each other, why don't you stand by the garbage can every time it gets full, take it out to the dumpster? So Brother Slee don't have to. Brother Roberts doesn't have to. Are these men able? Yes. And they've taken out hundreds. Brother Slee has taken out thousands of garbage and bags of garbage. And he will in the future. But that's something you can do. You see, one of our ladies walking next door been teaching Sunday school for 20 years. She's got her hands full, watch this morning, carrying in stuff that she's prepared, going to give to her kids. She's making her way down that sidewalk, and two teen boys run past her to go into the building. Why don't you stop and say, "Can I carry that for you?" Because if you don't get it now, you'll never get it. If you don't learn hospitality now, I'm not saying that you're a slave. I'm not saying you can't have fun. You know better. You got it made around here, right? We have lots of fun stuff for you to do. But it's not all fun and games. You're missing the point. And if you think church is just fun and games, then when you turn about 20 years old, you're going to be bored out of your mind and you're going to quit. That's what's been going on for generations.
That's right. Amen.
Learn to love God and serve God. Learn to have fun. You know what you can do? You two boys can take the garbage out. You can have a blast doing that together.
Amen.
How can I have a blast doing that? Oh, you can if you'll be creative, all right? Learn to serve. Abraham could have went and killed the young calf himself. He could have. He could have went and picked it out himself. He could have went and dressed it himself. And he could have went and cooked it himself. But for some reason in the Bible, in this perfect picture of hospitality, he wanted to get a young man involved in this. Gotta amen or shake your head or do something, all right? Or at least look at me and say, "That's mean," all right? I don't care really what you think, but that's what the Bible says. That's what Abraham did. And that's what's been recorded in Scriptures for our learning. That a young man got involved in this. There are young ladies. You know, there are birthdays throughout the months. There are cards for our shut-ins. Write them a card, young ladies. There'll be dishes to watch in the near future. And normally, every time I leave, it's usually either my wife or Miss Campbell or Mrs. Salee, or who's always washing those dishes. And they can, and they're fully capable, and they did not ask me to say nothing, and they're probably like, "I can't believe you're saying these," right? But why don't just once? A couple of you 13-year-old girls walk up and say, "Let us wash the dishes tonight." So I don't want to. And you never will.
Right.
Parents, hospitality is not just for us. We need to teach our children to do it too.
Right. Amen.
And I say we all need to do this. And teach our young people to get involved. And you see, he was very liberal in his giving. In verses 6 to 8, again, he gave the best that he had. It says in verse 6, he hastened and went to Sarah and said, "Make ready quick 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it, make cakes upon her." He said, make some cakes here. Verse number 7, he went and fetched a calf, tender and good, and he gave it to the young man. Put everything you've got into this. You know, go the extra mile. We'll stick with our illustrations because everybody likes it so much. You carried the stuff in for the Sunday school teacher. When Sunday school class is over, why don't you go back to the class and ask if you can carry something back out to her car? You took the garbage out and threw it away. Wonderful. Come back and put another bag in. Give it your all.
Yes, that's right.
Little things. The bag leaked as you were taking it out. Come back and clean it up.
That's right. Amen.
These are, you're supposed to be preaching. I am.
Yes. That's right.
Our young people are supposed to have character.
Yes.
And if we don't ever teach it, they're never going to get it.
Right.
And they ought to want to. Abraham, he didn't just do a half-hearted job. Abraham just didn't go get any calf out there. And he didn't walk in there and say, "You got anything sitting that's been, you got anything made in there, Sarah?" "Oh, I've got a couple of cakes. They've been sitting out a couple of days." "Yeah, good enough." That's not what he did.
Right.
He said, "Make some new ones.
Yep.
Make them fresh.
Yep.
Make them hot. Make them yummy. Bring them out here." Now, at the same time, don't misunderstand me. He didn't have fine china. He didn't have a giant table with oak chairs.
That's right.
They sat down under a tree. But look at me. He gave the best with what he had.
That's right. Amen.
Because hospitality is not about stuff. It's about people.
Yes.
And giving your best and giving the best you've got. They brought out the butter for this one.
Amen.
Brought out the milk for this one. Because they wanted to make these guests feel like they were important. Because they were. Number 8, 7, 6, 7, wherever we're at. He showed love. Verse number 8, "And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." He stood by them. You know what he didn't do, young people? He didn't go stuff his face quick before the other ones did.
No. That's right.
You know what he didn't do? He didn't fill his plate and then passed out the rest. He stood until he knew that they had gotten what they wanted.
That's right.
Is that what the Bible says? Amen?
Yeah.
He stood. What was he doing? He was showing them respect.
Yeah.
He was showing them love. You know what I believe with all my heart? That Abraham really got a lot of joy out of this. If you'll find a heart to serve, you will find a heart of love and rejoicing.
Right.
And you will find great joy in service. Now that's all the points I got, but I want to wrap it up with this. Ready? Maybe you can shut your Bible. Please do not zip them because that gets on my nerves. Don't shut the Bible, all right? And listen real quick, all right? Now stop and think about something. Why does God tell us to be given to hospitality? Why are all these pictures that we're going to look at be here? Why does God want all of His children, all of us Christians, to show hospitality? Real quick, I want to tell you why. Why are we studying this? I want to tell you why. Because hospitality is a picture of Christ to the world.
Yes, right.
Can I review the points? But this time I want you to think about Christ and us as sinners and how we got saved. Number one, Abraham was looking. Aren't you glad that the Lord is seeking to save
yes.
that which is lost?
Yeah.
Most of us weren't the ones doing the looking. But praise God, before we ever looked for Him, He was searching for us.
Yes,
the second point was this. He led in making the first move.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what Christ did?
Yeah.
About 2,000 years ago,
yeah, that's right.
He came. And He gave Himself so that we could be saved.
Right.
You know what He did to a rotten, sinning heart that I was? He knocked on my door and said, "I love you, and I want you to be saved."
Yeah.
He made the first move. He showed lowliness
yeah.
in His life. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death,
right.
even the death of the cross. He humbled Himself and was made in fashion as a man. He showed great humility. The Lord showed great loving kindness, has He not?
Amen.
What loving kindness has He shown? The day we got saved, we got a, if you want to look at it this way, a refreshing.
Yes, amen.
Took the dirt out of our life, amen? And not only that, but our hearts were comforted the day that we knew the Lord. And now He leans on others, does He not?
Mm.
He says for us to go and to do this work.
Yes.
And to tell the world and to prepare the good news to give to them. And boy, is He liberal in giving out His grace. He's rich in mercy. And He gives the very best to those who believe in Him. You know why? Because He loves.
Yeah.
If we as Christians never show hospitality, We never show hospitality to our neighbors, and never show hospitality to those widows, and never show hospitality to those fallen, and never show hospitality towards, you know, the orphans, and never show hospitality towards the sinners, and never, we never do this. What do you think the lost world's going to think about our God?
Right.
Let's turn that around. What's the lost world think about our God when they see a people looking for who they can show themselves hospitable to?
Amen.
Loving people, giving their best, refreshing them, going out of their way to serve. It speaks to them. That's why God said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Number two, love your neighbor. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple.
Yes.
If you have love one for another. Our hospitality teaches about who our God is.
Amen.
So let's show hospitality.
Right.